Georgia Tech's getting ready for their bowl game. There is some news that we need to discuss, and our buddy Chad Bishop is here with us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's about a week or so away, and Chad, thanks for joining us. I guess for me, I'm curious, with somebody's around the program every day, was it a surprise that Buster Faulkner took this job to move on to Florida, and how much of a surprise was it that Aaron Filo followed him?
Well, I like how we started this conversation with some news. There's a little bit more than some news these days, right? First of all, I don't think it was a surprise for Buster Faulkner to leave. I mean, he is such a highly coveted assistant coach and offensive coordinator. I mean, really, those rumors of him leaving started even almost before he even started his Tech tenure. I mean, the guy is so good at what he does. Those rumors were rampant last year. To go to Florida was an interesting move, to work for a first-year Florida coach and John Sumrall, but I think those guys have a long-standing relationship as well. And the chance to compete in the SEC is big time, and that's not to demean what the ACC has to offer, but, you know, you're going to be down at Florida in the swamp and have some big-time athletes to work with, and that's probably very enticing for Buster Faulkner to do. The Aaron Filo news is way more surprising to me. I mean, there's a kid that put a lot of his eggs in the Georgia Tech basket, a lot of his trust in Brent Key and Chris Wankie. I think everybody knew he was going to be the starter in 2026. And from everything I understand, he was still in real good standing with Georgia Tech. And even after Buster Faulkner left, there wasn't really any indication that Aaron Filo was going to hit that transfer portal. But I think in this day and age, agents get involved and they tell these young men, look, man, go test the market. See what sort of payday you can get. And I sort of think that's sort of how this transpired over the last week and a half. And I think Aaron Filo decided, look, I may be able to get a big payday, whether that's Florida or somewhere else, or even if I return to Tech. And that's the free agency world we live in now.
Haynes King says he's going to play in the Pop-Tarts Bowl, says he doesn't want to quit, and then I don't want to jump ship and quit. So is that a shot at Filo?
I don't know. You know, Haynes King and Aaron Filo were really good friends. I mean, there was kind of a viral quote that went around at the beginning or midway through the season about how, you know, Haynes King considered Aaron Filo his best friend and vice versa. Those guys were pretty close, and Haynes King was a mentor to Aaron Filo. I think Haynes was speaking more to his season, his career overall, in terms of, look, he's got an NFL future to think about. A lot of kids in his position would rest and heal and look toward Pro Day and look toward Senior Bowls and East-West Shrines games. So I don't know. I mean, we haven't asked Haynes that directly if he was talking about Aaron. It is interesting that Aaron wouldn't maybe wait till after this, because technically, right, guys, these guys can't go in the portals of January 2nd. Right. But time is of the essence, and so I don't know specifically if Haynes King was taking a shot at his teammate. We'll have to ask him next time we see him.
Talking with Chad Bishop, guys, from the AJC about Georgia Tech. So the flirtation with Chip Kelly, did that get anywhere? I mean, that's all it was.
I think it was just furthering a relationship. Brent Key came out when this all happened and said, look, you know, he had a list of 36 names, and sometimes you interview guys or talk to guys, maybe not for this year, but maybe years down the line. You know, I know Chip Kelly was talking to, I believe, Texas A&M and Ohio State, as well as Georgia Tech. So I think it was, there was a conversation there, right? Come on up to Atlanta, check out the program, see what you have to offer. But Brent Key is looking for a certain fit. I don't think he's just going to go get a big-time name or a big-time offensive coordinator because maybe he can, right? I think it's more about what this program needs in the immediate future and what Brent Key sees long-term. So, yeah, I definitely think there was probably at least a bit of a preliminary interview between those two parties, but I don't know if that was the right fit for Georgia Tech at this time.
Chad, talk about the offensive line coach who also left. He goes to Nebraska, Coach Wade, and then you lose Norvell McKenzie, who goes to Virginia Tech, the running backs coach. Now, all of these coaches left on their own accord. They're going to have to pay back some of their portion of their salary. But at the end of the day, you're losing your O-line coach and your running backs coach.
It's true, and two really good coaches, too. And I'd really, you know, I knew Norvell McKenzie from his time at Vanderbilt. He was at Vanderbilt when I worked at Vanderbilt. He's an Atlanta native, great, you know, great guy, great family man. Chance to go work at Virginia Tech with James Franklin, and then Jeeb Way moving on to Nebraska. So part of me thinks that some of this might have been a bit mutual, right? Like you guys have a chance to go on and do something else, and maybe from Brent Key's perspective, he has a chance to and I use this phrase cautiously, upgrade the staff. And that's no offense to the coaches that have been there, but you have a little bit more money in your salary pool, $2 million extra dollars than you've had before. These guys have decided to move on, and now you got a little bit more extra funds to go hire some coaches who could come at a higher premium. And they already have Alan Mogridge as the offensive line coach. He comes from Appalachian State, and he was with the team in 2024. Really close relationship with Brent Key and to some of the guys who are already on the team, and now a chance to go out there and get a big-time offensive coordinator and maybe, you know, a big-time running backs coach, a big-time recruiter, and continue to make this program better. Brent Key says it all the time, right? You're not staying the same. You're either getting better or you're getting worse. These guys have left. Time to try to go get somebody better.
What do you think about Georgia Tech's 2026 schedule? We do know that they will keep an 8-game schedule with home games against BC, Duke, Louisville, Wake Forest, non-conference matchups. Colorado's coming, Tennessee, Georgia. But the full schedule is not going to be released, I think, Chip, until January. But Georgia Tech's going to have 11 Power 4 conference opponents?
Well, it's going to be a little bit of a gauntlet. Number one, I don't think, you know, Brent Key may say publicly he wouldn't want it any other way. I don't know if that's how they all feel privately about it. But hey, look, if you want to be in the college football playoff discussion, if you want to take your program to that next level, and they talked all in 2025 about the word jump and taking that jump and being among the college football elites. Well, 2026 is another opportunity in that vein. And we saw this year in the college football playoff rankings, does this two-team loss belong? Does this three-loss team belong? Well, Georgia Tech, I mean, you know, if you beat Colorado, if you lose one to Tennessee, if you're able to finally break that streak to Georgia, I mean, you're going to have a resume. I think you go to Clemson, right? I mean, you're going to have a lot of opportunities on that schedule to win some high-level games. And even if you drop one or two, you're going to be in that discussion as well. So it's going to be tough, but I think it's going to be incredibly exciting for the fan base. And honestly, it might help Tech in that transfer portal, right? Like, look, you come to Georgia Tech in 2026, look at the teams you're going to play. Look at the opportunities you're going to have to be on TV. I think they can kind of use it as a selling point moving forward.
I always felt as a booster, I mean, for my two cents, I always want the best games. And I know that with a 17-team conference, not everybody gets to play the 9-game conference schedule. So some years, Tech will not have to or whatever. We're talking about the Tech program with Chad Bishop. Ryan Alpert goes on the radio on WCNN, says you got two big donations. So at least everybody is funneling the cash to the program, which is a lifeblood, and they're not getting scared by all the things that have happened the last few days.
Oh, for sure. And you know, I don't think, you know, some coaching changes or some transfer portal deflections, I don't think that's really going to change some of the momentum that Brent Key has and that he's built and that the athletic department as a whole has built. Even with Jay Batt leaving recently to go to Michigan State, Ryan Alpert coming in, his second-hand man, Brent Jones coming in to help raise funds. This is the name of the game these days. I mean, it's not just all about shaking hands and kissing babies. You got to go out there and raise those funds and scoop up that money the best way you can. And so to get a couple $10 million donations this week, not only that, but the $10 million they got from playing Georgia and Mercedes-Benz Stadium, all these, you know, I say little, but all these things add up for programs who are continually trying to pay players, to build facilities, to keep up with the Joneses, to become elite football programs. A huge, huge sign for this Georgia Tech Athletics Department to signal they continue to go in the right direction.
Chad, what happens in this bowl game? The Pop-Tarts Bowl in Orlando on December 27th. What should we expect from the Jackets?
Guys, oh my goodness. I wish I knew. I was thinking the other day, like, we used to have these bowl games and get so amped up and break down the matchups. I mean, I've been writing about coaching changes and portal transfers and blah, blah, blah. And so my initial thought is you have two very, very evenly matched teams. Georgia Tech runs the ball, very physical running quarterback. BYU, great defense, great freshman quarterback, and Bear Birkmeyer, tough football team under Kalani Sitake. So one would think it would be a grudge match with a running clock, and we'll get out of there in 2.5 hours, and whichever team makes the least amount of mistakes.
Right.
But you know, with these portal deflections, and where's these teams' mindsets, and who's going to be is BYU? Have they mailed it in because they didn't make the playoff, or are they aggravated because they didn't make the playoff? Is Georgia Tech You know, are they down on themselves because they lost three or four, or do they want to go out and try to win 10 for the first time in more than a decade? So it'll come down to motivation, and then which team has the younger kids who want to step up and make some plays. I wish I could dig in and tell you some more about some of these matchups, man, but that's just the way of the world these days. We got too much else going on to worry about a 13th football game.
And more on the Falcons coming up here on Dukes and Bell, but right now just talking about Tech. So Chris Wehnke, former Heisman Trophy winner, he'll call the plays. Does he have designs on being the OC?
You know, I don't know. That's a good question, because I kind of feel like if he did, that maybe would have happened already. And Chris Wehnke is just such a fantastic quarterback coach and developer of quarterbacks. And evaluator of quarterbacks. And you go to a Tech football practice, man, and he's just all up there in the backfield with the quarterbacks, coaching them on every play, on every throw. Loves working with the quarterbacks so much. I know he's going to have a great plan in this bowl game, and it'll be a collaborative effort with Brent Key and even Haynes King to go in there and see what they can do against that BYU defense. You know, I really think, and you know, honestly, he was the co-offensive coordinator in this 2025 season already. But I think if he'd had designs to be an offensive coordinator, that probably would have happened already at this point in his career, and that might have already happened at Georgia Tech, that he would have gotten that promotion ahead of time. So I don't know that 100% to be accurate to be the case, but I really think if he wanted the job and Brent Key wanted him to be the full-time OC, maybe that would have happened by now. I just think he's really, really comfortable coaching quarterbacks.
Fair enough. Chad, great job, man. Read him, AJC, AJC.com, Chad Bishop.